Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Now, let me start out by making this very clear. Liberals do not tell lies. They're merely truth challenged. And here to help you to understand even better, my good friend, Jim Barrier.
Oh, that was classic. Wow, Bob. I feel spoiled. I get to be on back-to-back weeks
back
with you.
Back-to-back with Jim Barrier.
Yeah, wow. Well, that was a great line. They're just truth challenged.
Well, yeah, to put it in their own politically correct mumbo jumbo.
Yeah. Well, of course, because we wouldn't want to offend anybody now, would we?
Well, in fact, Jim, if you were to tell a lie yourself, you could get accused of cultural appropriation because you'd be appropriating a liberal by lying.
You know, that's a good point. We might bring that up a little later. So I want to start off tonight. I'm going to read some quotes to you, and then we'll just jump right into this stuff. Thomas Jefferson said, "It is of great importance to set a resolution never to be shaken, never to tell an untruth. This is no vice so mean, so pitiful, so contemptible than he who permits himself to tell a lie once and finds it much easier to do it a second and a third time till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it, and truth without the world's believing him. This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart, and in time depraves all of its good dispositions." Wow. You mean they had politicians that lied back then, too?
Yeah, they sure did. Of course, we're not supposed to be allowed to talk about Thomas Jefferson today because of all the cancel culture stuff. And he was just a white owned slaves, so what did he know?
I think he knew a lot. Okay, here's another. You'll recognize this one. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such a time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state.
Yeah, I know that's credited to Goebbels, Hitler's minister of propaganda.
Yeah, that he was the propagandist for the Nazi Party.
It sounds like the blueprint for the Democratic Party today, though.
Well, he was the Jen Psaki of his day.
Did he circle around again later when he was asked a question he couldn't answer?
I'll circle back to you. Circle back to Jen later. Okay, here's a couple of other famous lies. Recent history, you have to imagine somebody pounding their fist on the podium saying, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman."
Oh, that's Bill Clinton, yeah.
Yes, Bill Clinton.
Well, and that was, just to be fair to his consistency, that was in the tradition of "I smoked, but I didn't inhale."
Yeah,
because technically, they did not actually have sexual intercourse. So that's how he was getting around that.
And I've debated that. I went around with people about, oral.
Well, he finally admitted he was in an inappropriate relationship. That's what it was. We can parse words. Yeah. But it reminds me a lot of I smoked, but I didn't inhale. It was kind of in that tradition.
Well, he was a pathological liar as well as...
You mean a pathological truth-challenged person, Jim. Let's get it right.
Truth-challenged person. As well as a predator, a sexual predator. Lewinsky was just one in a long list of women that always wound up being silenced. Okay. Here's one more, and then we're going to move on to present-day lies. This one, and when I first heard this, I thought, that sounds good. If you've got a health care plan that you like, you can keep it.
Oh, yeah. The infamous Barack Obama, yes.
Yeah, he was also a truth challenge.
Oh, he lied through his teeth constantly.
I'm going to use truth challenge from now on. I think that's brilliant.
He lied as much as Biden, but he did it with a finesse, and he did it better than Biden, and he did it better than Hillary, but he was a liar, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Joe's just not a very good liar. So speaking of Joe, and you know, one of the things I missed before Joe was the occupant of the Oval Office, you used to do a little bit with Joe Biden. You use the music.
Yeah,
for,
our Joe Biden update theme. That was Otis from Superman.
I used to love those.
It sounded like it was written for Joe Biden.
Well, the president gave the State of the Union address.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. But don't tell me, Jim. Don't tell me. He said the State of the Union was good.
Oh, no. He said it was great.
Oh, great. Well, that's good enough for me. And if you want proof, we got him on record saying it's great. The president says it's great. It must be great.
It must be true. Here's just a few snippets from his speech. This is the best one, the biggest one. It just kicks the whole thing off. I will be honest with you, as I have always promised.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is great.
Well, at least he didn't say, as I've always been. I guess he has always promised that. We could probably give him that. He's good at promising,
exactly.
to be honest.
He'll be as honest as he's always promised. Now, here he goes. The State of the Union is strong because you, the American people, are strong. Listen, we are stronger today than we were a year ago. Huh?
Well, a year ago he was president too, so that might be kind of a photo finish there. But let me see. We're letting criminals out of jail without bail. We have no borders anymore. He's closed down our pipelines, but we're paying Russia and Saudi Arabia for their pipelines.
Shall I go on?
These are examples of the great State of the Union.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, we are stronger now. Inflation is certainly stronger. Our enemies are certainly stronger.
Oh, yeah, maybe he meant the state of Russia's union. Maybe that's what he was really trying to say. The state of Putin's union's doing really good right now.
And on that topic, he said, we prepared extensively for the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll give him that one. There is no way Putin would have attacked Ukraine if Biden was not in office. He might as well have been a green light saying, go right in. The pickings are good.
He said in his State of the Union address, he claimed that he leveraged powerful punishments that brought Putin to his knees.
Yeah, those sanctions. Those sanctions just make those guys shake in their boots.
Let me tell you something. The only reason Putin would be on his knees would be to peek through the keyhole so he could see what he might take from somebody else.
And it's not like this isn't emboldening China and Iran and North Korea.
Oh my! Well, how about that victory in Afghanistan?
Yeah, there's another great example of the great union we are. That great exit for Afghanistan, that was a class act.
Oh, that's got them shaking in their boots, I tell you. Okay, you want to hear some more?
Oh, sure. These are fun.
From Joe. Okay, our economy roared back faster than anyone predicted. Okay, I don't know what.
Well, since no one was predicting it was going to roar back fast, I suppose.
I don't have the big enough picture for this. But now I understand how I could say that. Gas, on the average across America right now, is $4 a gallon. That's probably cheaper than you pay.
Oh, yeah, we're hitting $5 a gallon easily now in California.
We're about $3 here in Texas. But it was, on average, $2.76 one year ago. So we're roaring. I don't know what kind of a roar that is.
You can't even go to a drive-thru and get your hamburger made on time anymore because they're all claiming they're understaffed. And part of that is the produce problem and the fact that nobody's unloading the boats because they don't want to get the vaccination. And part of it is because the government's paying more people to stay home. It's worth their while to stay home and get a free handout than to work in a part-time job.
No,
this is an example of how great our economy's doing right now.
Yeah, but you almost can't fault people if the government's going to pay them more than they would make if they were working. I mean, it's human nature.
Yeah, and when you finally get your hamburger, it has less meat on it, and you're paying more money for it.
I saw
you'll pardon me. Junk food and fast food is where I live. That's life as I know it. So that's how I gauge things like the economy.
Yeah, I get it. I saw a meme the other day, and it was a hamburger bun stacked with pickles that said, due to the high cost of meat, we're now serving the McPickle.
The McPickle.
Pickle sandwich.
That's great.
Oh, man. Okay, here's some more. My plan to fight inflation will lower your costs and lower the deficit. And what is his plan? Raise taxes. Taxes created jobs, lots of jobs. And then he said, I created 6.5 million jobs. Now,
the guy's absolutely certifiable.
He lost 10 million jobs, but he didn't put that part in there. So he cost us 10 million jobs, but he's gained back 6.5 million.
Well,
of those
jobs. He's putting the pickle people in business, Jim. Let's give him some credit here. Those McPickle burgers, you're going to have somebody open up the jar, take those things out, unload the barrel.
Gosh. You know, and I'm laughing. That's how I deal with pain.
Well, that's about all we can do because it's not all that funny, but you got to get by.
Tragic.
So find the humor in it.
It's a horrible thing. Here's some more things moving forward with Joe's plan for our country. Listen to this. You're going to love this. Buying American products is a priority for this administration.
Oh, American products like oil from American pipelines, those kinds of products?
Yeah. Let's see. No, don't boycott Russian oil or reopen the Keystone Pipeline, but maybe other things. You mean like $1.3 billion worth of COVID rapid tests from China? Those American products?
Well, he's beholden to China. China's holding him over a barrel. So what's he going to do?
Yeah. So anyway, we need to buy American. I started to get a sense that he's just pandering. He's saying things that he thinks people want to hear, even though he doesn't mean it or believe it. But
he has no idea what he believes about any issue, about anything.
That's sadly probably true.
And he never did. This is even before he lost his mind. He never did in the past either.
Well, as Bob Dylan said, when you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose.
there you go.
He called for lower insulin prices amid what he said is a drug price crisis. Really? He undid a rule enacted by Trump that lowered insulin prices for Americans, and now he wants to lower them back again.
Well, he probably forgot all about that by now, Jim.
That's very possible, very possible. But don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. here's this one. This one just kill me. Funding for police is a big priority.
Oh, yeah. This is the Democratic Party that's been calling for the defunding of police.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And I don't recall if he himself actually called for the defunding of police, but he certainly was not speaking out against those in his party calling for it.
No, and he has allied himself with the Democrats who call for racist police forces to lose their funding. Now, here's the thing. He says, well, he has a view, but it's maybe not the same as others. You know what? In the debate, he said, I am the Democrat Party. Remember that?
I
remember him saying it.
That's more or less true, and as much as he's doing whatever they tell him to.
Now let's move on to some hot topics. This is probably the guys on the show before yours might have liked it. Joe said, gun makers are immune from prosecution.
What? He said
in
that?
Essence, they are immune from prosecution. Gun makers are immune from prosecution. And Hillary said that, but it's just not true. Here's what it is. They cannot be held liable in civil court for crimes resulting from criminal or unlawful misuse of firearms.
But what I'm saying is he must have been saying that like a lament, like he doesn't agree that that's the way it should be, right?
No, he's saying that
a gun maker, he is agreeing that it's okay for a gun maker to be immune and we just charge the perpetrator.
Yeah, you're right. He was lamenting that.
He was lamenting that. Yeah, okay.
But the problem is, that isn't even true. They can be held liable if a gun misfires or if it's malfunctions or poorly made. They can be sued for that. They just can't be sued if somebody unlawfully uses a firearm. You know, if a drunk driver kills somebody, you don't sue Ford because someone used their car.
No, you should only sue Ford for the way a Ford car operates. That's what you should sue Ford for.
Yeah, so the guy, I don't know. I think someone can't be that dumb, but then I remember a few years back, a Democrat saying he didn't want any more troops on Guam for fear that it would tip over and capsize.
I know. I think the guy is dumb, Jim. I think he's just dumb as a post. But my biggest problem with him is that he's a pathological liar. I guess a person can't help what IQ they're born with. Whether or not he's going to lie, that he can do something about.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And all the double standards. So he's, you know, gun makers are immune, and he's sore about that. But it's not even true. However, many manufacturers who created the COVID-19 jab are immune from prosecution if there are adverse effects to the drug. They can't be sued. They didn't talk about that.
Because our politicians are all in bed with the money makers and the vaccine.
Oh, my. Billions. It's such a huge, huge industry. He said, this just gets better and better. He said he wants to secure the southern border, and he's taking swift action to do so.
Really? And what exactly would he use as examples of this swift action?
He doesn't have any plan. It sounds kind of like the old shut the stable door after the horse is bolted.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what's he going to do? Put up a sign saying the border is secure, just like he made a statement saying that our State of the Union is good? I guess in that vein, in the same vein that the State of the Union is good, he could say that the border is secure.
Yeah. I think it's just that, you know, he's saying what he thinks people want to hear, and he's hoping they'll believe him. He started his presidency immediately by stripping border protections that were enacted by President Trump.
His entire campaign was, at least I'm not Trump. He didn't really think about anything he would do besides not being Trump. And he undid a bunch of stuff that Trump did. He may as well have had a list of top 20 ways to destroy your country. Because that's what he's doing. He's destroying the country.
He has kept that promise. He is not Trump. So the Border Patrol encountered 2 million at the southern border in 2021 alone. And Biden transported thousands of illegals to cities in the Northeast at the taxpayers' expense, tried to keep it quiet.
Oh, because he wants to get them into the red states so that they can vote, which is the whole reason that Democrats want open borders. Not that it takes a genius to figure that out. We've been saying that for years.
You know, maybe I misunderstand something. When he says he wants to secure, maybe that doesn't mean he wants to keep people from coming in. Maybe he wants to keep that open border secured. Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know.
It's anybody's guess.
Yeah. But it's ludicrous, you know, that he would say stuff like that. He wants to secure the borders. Here's a great one. The right to vote is under assault.
Well, he's correct about that, but he's got the wrong party. He's got the price tag switched here.
No, he's talking about non-citizens, incarcerated felons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The person that is legally voting and they go down to the poll and they're told that they already voted because of all these mail-in ballots, that's the guy whose voting rights is under assault. But that's not what they're talking about.
No. He is right. The vote is under assault. Now, this brings us, that kind of wraps up things with Joe. I want to talk about a couple of other folks that we see in the news a lot lately. Stacey Abrams, who claims election fraud because she lost the gubernatorial election in Georgia. Ironic, huh?
Yeah, and then when Republicans make the same claim, they're traitors to their country and they should be censored.
Yeah. So listen to what she said. You might have read this or heard this. She said, I can't get it. She said, we are a stronger nation when we allow people to participate. And if we ever doubted that, the war that Putin is waging against Ukraine, President Zelensky said it. He said, this isn't a war on the Ukraine, it's a war on democracy. It is wrong when we allow democracy to be overtaken by those who want to choose who can be heard, and those choices are not based on anything other than animosity and inconvenience.
Yeah, well, she said that very well. Unfortunately, she's not talking about her own party, which is what she should be talking about by example.
This woman has more nerve than an abscessed tooth. there's a term that bothers me. We use the term public service. I'm wondering who these people are serving. So, but we're talking about politicians who are, they're truth challenged, is that what?
Truth challenged, yes.
Truth challenged public servants. Oh, my gosh. Okay, now, I don't know if there's a worse liar than Joe Biden. There's certainly competition. We mentioned his predecessor, and then Hillary and her husband, the whole Clinton mafia, liars abounding in and around our capital city. But there's another one, and this is the person that Biden selected to be his running mate. Of course, after he trashed her in the primaries.
Well, and after then, she trashed him at the debate, accusing him of being a segregationist, which he was, by the way.
He was.
That was one of the few things she ever said that was actually true.
Yeah, but she made up for that by, in her debate. I remember her.
Well, remember she laughed about it? They asked her, how do you reconcile that? Now that you're right. She goes, it was a debate. Oh, okay. So we're not supposed to take anything you say seriously. You're admitting that. Not that we ever did anyway, take her seriously, but now she's admitting it.
Well, almost anytime someone asks a question that she can't think of an answer for, she just laughs. She has that cackle, and that does.
Oh, I don't know which is worse, her cackle or Hillary's. I think Hillary's is worse. I'd rather listen to the Wicked Witch of the West on The Wizard of Oz than Hillary's cackle. But Kamala's is pretty bad, too. I'll give you that.
We had to listen to Hillary for a much longer period of time, so the pain is deeper. But I remember in her debates. I remember her telling this story. She's debating Mike Pence, and she said, it was all about, can you appoint a judge late in the year? And she said, Honest Abe Lincoln said it's not right to do that, which he never said. The reason Lincoln didn't appoint a judge is because the Senate was out of session at that time in October. But, she just twisted things. And her stories about, she told this story about, when I was a little baby and my mama was pushing in a stroller, and we were marching for civil rights. Yeah, right. You know, she's actually half Indian and half Jamaican. She's not even black, but she kind of sells this whole thing that she's black. And it wouldn't matter to me what she is, but I don't like the fact that she lies. And she says, and I fell out of my stroller, and my mother picked me up and said, honey, what do you want? And I said, freedom.
Freedom. Like Elmer Fudd. I want freedom with the Wiley Waskily Wabbit.
Well, she stole that. Martin Luther King told that story decades ago about a police officer that was helping a little boy, and the little boy said he wanted to feed him. And so she just stole that and made it about herself. It's just crazy. And so she's been lying for a long time. So here recently, Lester Holt, not my favorite, but asked her why she hasn't visited the border. And she stammered, at some point, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border. So Holt reminded her that she herself has not been to the border while in office.
Maybe she meant that she was playing Risk. You pay a lot of attention to the borders of the different countries when you're playing Risk.
No, she just lies. And she says, he says, you haven't been to the border. She says, well, I haven't been to Europe either. That's her answer. And she says, I mean, I don't understand the point you're making. That's the problem, Kamala. You don't understand.
But Lester Holt probably didn't say that much to her.
No, but it had to be embarrassing for him. And he was trying to be a journalist at that point. Now, this just happened very recently because of the stuff going on in Russia and Ukraine. She was asked to explain the Ukraine crisis in layman's terms. So she responded slowly, like she was talking to preschoolers.
I'll give them to you in layman's terms. We have an incompetent nitwit in the White House who was taken advantage of. That's the layman's version of what's going on.
Well, that is. But this is her version. Okay. Ukraine is a country in Europe, and it exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia decided to invade the smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
I just want to go on record that when a country invades another country, that's just wrong. Once again, Jim, we could learn all of this by looking at a Risk board. She needed no preparation beyond that. In fact, a lot of people probably never even heard of Ukraine until they saw it on a Risk board.
Well, I have, because I have Ukrainian friends. But yeah, you're right. I'll play her in Risk any day. It wouldn't take very long. So she went to Germany to meet with European leaders and help bolster border security in the Ukraine. So she does care about the border.
Yeah, if it's some other country's border, sure. Then they care about it all over the place.
Border.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. So now, so much for Kamala. I was going to talk about Nancy our favorite Wicked Witches of West.
Now, somebody told me she did something like she thought the State of the Union address was over and she prematurely clapped. Did you actually watch that thing or have you heard anything about that?
No, actually what it was, yeah, maybe that was her excuse. She thought it was over. Yeah, because he just got through making a statement about soldiers in Afghanistan being burnt. And she stood up and started clapping. Nancy!
You just can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up.
I think of the line in the movie What's Up, Doc? With Barbara Streisand. Do you know the meaning of the word propriety? Oh, my goodness. I know you're a big Streisand fan.
Oh, that I love. I actually, well, when she's not talking about politics, I am a big Streisand. Yeah, yeah. What's Up, Doc? Was a movie. Hilarious movie.
Yeah, with Ryan O'Neal. I love that film. So, how do we get off of it? Yeah, you know, Pelosi. She does this whole thing about that January 6th thing, you know, a year ago. And it was basically people who were protesting. They were not armed, but they were protesting what they considered fraudulent elections. And so she said they were white supremacists, they were...
Well, of course, all those black people you saw in the crowd, we've learned now that in the tradition of Candace Owen and Larry Elder, they're all really just white supremacists. They don't have to actually be white.
Yeah, that's right. That makes, golly. Okay, I'm not going to say what I was just about to say. We'll just move along. Remember, folks, the views expressed here are not necessarily views of Bob Siegel, KCBQ, or the Sale Broadcast.
You can share with me the director's cut later.
And then there was AOC's, okay. Oh, my gosh. The whole story, she made up this story about that she was locked in her bathroom and that there were people that wanted to kill her, trying to break in and the whole thing. And then it turns out she was like, 4 kilometers away from the Capitol.
Well, it also turns out that Trump had told Nancy Pelosi to have more police out there, and the police were practically doormat. And we've also learned that some policemen were letting people into the Capitol building. So there was a lot of orchestration behind the scenes to make Trump look bad on this one.
Oh, yeah. And Pelosi gets up and she has a moment of silence. That she recites the names of 4 officers who were killed. Only one of them was killed on that day, and he wasn't even involved in that.
Did she do this the same night as the State of the Union address, or was this a separate thing?
No, I'm just talking about the fact that she's also a liar. But
right.
It's incredible. You can't make this stuff up. Okay, so let's circle back to Jen.
All right, Jen, let's circle back.
Okay. This is amazing. She says, I was at the State Department when the president was the vice president the last time Russia invaded the Ukraine. This is a pattern of horror from President Putin and his cronies. She's trying to make the point that Putin is intimidated by Biden. I think she has the parties confused. In fact, I think she's quite confused.
Putin must just be on the floor laughing his head off right now.
It is laughable, but it's also tragic. I think we have lost respect around the world, and especially
everybody, all the conservatives keep saying, well, wait till the midterms, assuming they're even going to be fair, legitimate elections. How do we know we're going to last till the midterms? Russia and China could both be here occupying our land by then. I'm not saying I really think that could happen, but I'll bet you it's a thought that's occurred to them. Maybe we better get over there and conquer the United States soon before they get a real leader, one with an actual brain.
I've kind of made some fun. We've laughed about some things, but we've laughed because they're tragic in some ways. But I do think that I want to leave you with this thought. Truth does exist. Now, the scripture says, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. And there are a lot of liars out there. But there are people who tell the truth, and one of them is the host of our show tonight. You can hear things that are true on this show and other shows like it around the country. The problem is the truth-challenged folks are the ones that get most of the airtime, and they have the big bucks, and they buy the advertising, and they spread their non-truths. They twist the truth.
I also think a liar can learn how to lie to himself and actually convince himself that he's telling the truth. You've heard of people that know how to beat the lie detector machine. We're talking about something in that vein.
Yeah. Well, that's what the opening quote I had from Thomas Jefferson was talking about, that it gets easier and easier to lie until pretty soon they believe the lie. And that's a dangerous thing, because then they no longer have a compass
Well, the Bible talks about people who chose to be deceived and then eventually believed the delusion that God allowed Satan to give them.
Yeah, I've got a podcast coming up in a couple of weeks where I talk about all of that. I want to share a line with you from that podcast. It just hit me. I don't know. I was contemplating some things, and I wrote this down. Truth clamors behind the walls of man's dark dungeons, planning its escape into the light. And so even when it's dark and we don't see a lot of truth, the truth is there, and it's going to come out. Now, maybe that'll be a judgment day. Maybe we will have a revival in this country. But truth is there, and there are those voices crying in the wilderness that will speak the truth. And the truth isn't always popular. The truth hurts.
The truth is seldom popular.
Yeah. And okay. I was just going to jump right off. I was getting all serious. And then I remembered the film Ishtar. Perhaps the worst film of all time.
You know, I saw it, and I actually didn't think it was all that bad. Most of the reviews were talking about how much money was spent on it, and they couldn't see where the money went. And I don't care if they saw where the money went. It was a comedy, and I found myself laughing. That's all. I'll tell you where the money went. It went to the salary of Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman. That's where it went.
Exactly, yeah. Well, they were trying to recreate the old Hope and Crosby road films is what that was.
Well, they were supposed to be a couple of songwriters, and they were the worst, and they were so proud of themselves, and that's what made it so funny. Now, I'm not saying it was the best movie ever made either, but I don't know if it deserved all the bad press that it got, Ishtar.
Well, the point of it was the song that they wrote that was going to be their big hit was called Dangerous Business, and it said, telling the truth is dangerous business. Honest and popular don't go hand in hand. If you admit you could play the accordion, you won't be invited to a rock and roll band.
There you go.
That just happened to pop into my head when we were talking about it. But it is true that truth is not popular most of the time. And that's why we get so many crooked politicians and people make promises that they don't keep.
Not only do they not keep them, but then they lie and they try to tell you that they really did keep them.
Yeah, I remember hearing my mom use the phrase crooked as a politician, you know, when I was just a kid. And so it's been around a long time. But I want to encourage you folks, don't believe everything that you see in the media. Don't believe everything that someone says just because they have a title. I will even challenge you. You know, I know Bob feels this way. When I pastored for 40 years, I would always say, don't walk out of here and say, Pastor Jim said such and such. Check it out for yourself. Do your own homework. Do your research. Find the truth. Just don't assume that because somebody has a title that they're telling all of the truth. I try to tell the truth, but I'm not perfect. I'm fallible. And just because someone is a pastor or a teacher or a president or whatever title or initials they have doesn't mean you can believe everything they say, hook, line, and sinker. So,
and that's the other thing, is that if somebody finds that they shared something that they thought was true and it doesn't turn out to be true, then integrity says they go back and admit that they made a mistake. So that's part of being honest also.
I've done that many times over the years in ministry, and I've got up and said, you know what? I was teaching this or saying this, but I don't think that was true. Now I made errors, and
exactly upon better discussion or better examination of scripture or study or the language, you may discover that you said something about the Bible that upon reflection turned out to not be true. So we just admit it. We're fallible human beings. It's not the end of the world.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We're finite. We're fallen. And for so many reasons, I'm not capable of having all knowledge, absolute knowledge, and saying everything perfectly. Having said that, there is one who tells the truth. God tells the truth, and he sent his Son, who said, I am the truth. And he promised to send his Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will lead us and guide us into all truth. So this is what I wanted to kind of wrap up with, and we're getting close, I think. But if you have trouble discerning the truth, if you wonder who you can believe, just do this in your own words, pray, and ask God to send his Spirit to help you to know the truth. That's a prayer that I think God will answer for anybody who's honest. Just say, Lord, there's some things I'm confused about. There's things that I don't know, questions I have, the stuff I don't understand. Would you help me to find the truth? And you know what? He's really good at responding to that prayer. And we've talked many times about the whole thing about the president and honoring the king and all that stuff. I pray for the president. In this situation, I have to pray that the president will come to the truth and quit being truth challenged.
Yeah.
That he would be flooded with the light of the truth. And the rest of these people, that's kind of my hope. It's back to the same thing every time with me. My hope is in God. I don't have any hope in this world or this world system. I love living in this country, but this is not my final destination. As Larry Norman said, I'm only visiting this planet. You know?
Yeah.
And so put your hope and trust in God, not in men.
And a lot certainly of our lying not. Politicians are going to be very surprised on Judgment Day because they're not going to be able to give a persuasive State of the Union speech and persuade God that they belong in heaven. They're not going to be able to reprogram a Smartmatic or Dominion machine. They're going to have to face the truth. It'll be like looking in a mirror.
Even some that have done good aren't even going to be able to point to say, well, I should go to heaven because look at these good things that I did. None of that is going to be the issue. Is your name found in the book of life? That's how it wraps up at the end of Revelation, the great white throne judgment. And those whose names are found in the book of life are entered into the reward of the joy of the Lord.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.